So it's good to be in the house of God, amen?
As believers in Jesus Christ,
our desire is to be
real with God,
real with each other,
and real with the world.
No longer being satisfied with simply living a Christian life,
but living our lives for Christ.
So it's good to be in the house of God, amen? Amen. So what you just saw is something we want to try to do when we don't have a sermon series intro is to capture the community, our faith community, the life that's happening. That's why Amos kind of was asking for people to take pictures and to take video, because a lot of times things are happening and we don't even realize this part of the church is doing something or whatever, and to capture that so that we can see what's going on. And seeing the body of Christ in action. There's two points that I want to make of that video. One, the opening of the drone circling above the church is looking out. Jesus' last words before he ascended was go, right? And go means to go as you are, where you're at. And right there as we watch, we see all the communities that we are to reach out to. Mercersburg, Clear Spring, Greencastle, and beyond. We're called to go. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But the other would be, as that last statement, I don't know about you, but I almost just, yeah. That childlike faith and that last sentence. But living our lives for Christ. Childlike faith. So, this morning, you see the picture, and it says baby dedication. You might be here saying, either we've already dedicated our children, or we don't have children, or you might put yourself in all these different things and think, ah, this is only for the four families that are dedicating their children this morning. Actually, wrong. Yes, baby dedication is for the parents, in the sense of that we are challenging them because they have decided that today they want to make this vow before you and before God, that they're going to raise their children in the faith. But I'm also challenging that it's each one of us, because as I look out here from this row all the way down, over, and coming back, each one of you have people that look to you. Remember, there's four Gospels, but actually there's five: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. This the church we were at in Tennessee, the pastor was talking about people deconstructing their faith. Maybe you've heard that term. And they've done a study and they found that two of the overwhelming things of why people want to deconstruct their faith is, first, when they read this, they don't want their lives to have to line up with the truth of what's in here. And so they deconstruct their faith. They're like, well, no, I'm going to live out the faith and the truth that I believe, that I see. The second overwhelming is that people that they look to in the community, the faith community, the body of Christ, were not living up to and living out the truth that they were saying. And so this morning, I'm challenging each one of us, because each one of us are somebody of influence, not just the parents this morning who are making this vow, but each one of us. And so that's why I ask you the very first question is, what path are you on? What path are you on? What are you pursuing? What are you going after day in and day out? The scripture that we want to talk from is direct your children onto the right path, and then, and when they are older, they will not leave. So you're directing them, and those that are you influence are looking at the path you're on, and you are in essence saying, this is the right path. And for parents, they're going to be looking at their children and guiding them. So what are you pursuing? What do people see in your lives? I'd like for us to turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Pretty interesting. What we have here is, let's kind of go back a little bit, not all the way to where Joseph took them into Egypt, but they have left Egypt. Moses has gone up to the mountain. He's been up there for too long of a time that the people of Israel ask Aaron, their priest, to make them now a god that they can worship, because Aaron's gone, what's going on? And so he collects this gold, and he claims that he puts it in the fire, and out comes this golden calf. And the way it reads is like you'd almost think that everybody of Israel worshiped this golden calf, but that's not true. Not everybody worshiped that golden calf. There were those that refused. But God then comes and says, I'm done with them. And it looks like God is like, we're not sure what's going on here. What we're seeing when we read that scripture, and he's talking to Moses, and Moses interceding, God is revealing the truth of who he is and what he could, right? Like, I have the right, because they have rebelled against me, they have sinned, death is what they deserve. And Moses intercedes, and we see a Christ-like symbolism there. Then Moses, as he's talking to God, and if you have your Bibles open to page 83, Exodus 34, if you look over, Moses is now asking God, as he's back up on the mountain, he's saying, look, who's going with me? You said, you've given me your name, I am who I am, but who's going with me? And God says, I'm going with you. And then Moses says, as you see the last two lines there, Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. Show me your glorious presence. And so that's where we pick up in Exodus 34, 5 through 7. Verse 5, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh, I am who I am. The Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. I forgive iniquities, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generation. Now keep your finger in that. I don't know if you guys realize, but NASA's back to space travel, right? And they just recently went and circled the moon. This past Thursday, there was a press conference. And one of the reporters asked the astronauts, because see, what they had done is they had passed the moon in a 7-hour lunar flyby. And the reporter asked them this simple question on how did you experience that moment? Because in Apollo 14, the astronaut Eggert Mitchell, when he experienced this beautiful moment of just unreal, of seeing something that we never would get to see, he was overcome with all that. He came back and committed his life to the study of the nature of human consciousness. The study of human consciousness. How do you respond? Well, Commander Reed Wiseman said this, I'm not really a religious man or a religious person, but there was just something. There was no other avenue for me to explain anything or to experience anything. So while he was on the aircraft carrier, he asked for the Navy chaplain to come and visit them. When the Navy chaplain walked in and he saw the cross on his collar, this commander of this flight began to cry. The pilot, Victor Glover, said, "The only thing I would add is I am a religious person, but everything else is the same." Brothers and sisters, we have two men who flew this amazing mission and saw things that we would never see. But the one man, when he came back, wanted to study human consciousness. The other wept at the sight of the cross of Jesus Christ and started processing the beauty and the reality of God our Creator. Let's go back, because that's what God is saying to Moses. There are two paths that people will respond to when they see my glory. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out in his own name, Yahweh. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquities, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren." The entire family is affected, even children in the third, fourth generations. Moses asked God, "Show me your glory." You would have thought power, vision, some mighty display. And instead, what God displayed to him, his character, his nature, how he relates to his creation. God's glory is revealed in his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his justice. But we saw in there, what about the guilty sin? How do you see Christ? How do you see the glory of God? When you see it, do you see the amazement of it and the reality of it cuts to you? Or do you become, "Oh, what, we need to study ourselves here and look into this more"? Do we need to consider, well, as Greg Cashel calls it, Christian atheism? Someone who believes in God but lives as if God doesn't exist. Someone who has no active trust, surrender, or obedience in their daily life. You see, when we're talking about this sin, we can see it played out by child abuse. You look at a child who's been abused, generally what happens is they grow up and they become abusers. When we see somebody who has alcoholic parents, usually what happens is there's a really strong possibility that they're going to be alcoholics, and then their parents, their children will end up. And then we see this passing on. But brothers and sisters, the problem is, so is selfishness and greedy, and looking at what is holy as common can be passed on from generation to generation and to generation. And God is saying, if you do not repent, if you do not look to me, I will judge the guilty. The sin has to be paid. And it is either through Jesus Christ, and we see the glory of it and we weep, or we take it on ourselves and experience. Now, when we see this and we think, "Oh, wait a minute, so if my parents sin, then I'm free." No. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel, both prophets, talk about this. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 18. It starts off with this: "The people will no longer quote this proverb. The parents have eaten sour grapes, and their children's mouths pucker at the taste." In other words, what the parents did, then the children are like, because of what they did. No, actually, Jeremiah goes on and says, "All people will die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouths will pucker." And Ezekiel goes on and says this: "For all people are mine to judge, both parent and child alike. And this is my role. The person who sins is the one who will die." Death is the penalty for sin. And either it's going to be Jesus Christ or you. And so as people who have influence on those around them, from this front row all the way to here, you can impact people and how they see things. If they see a Christian atheist being lived out, or do they see a follower of Jesus Christ? There's only two paths. What are we doing? For parents, this morning, the challenge is direct your children onto the right path, and then they will, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So, direct your children. What does this mean when we direct somebody onto the right path? This actually means faith must be taught intentionally. It's not just going to accidentally happen. Trust me, here I am, a little heavy. That kind of came by accident. Working out does not, does it? You can find yourself just accidentally eating, making these choices. Sin's the same way. We can accidentally find ourselves because we're not disciplined. But when we discipline ourselves, we can find ourselves going the path. Same as with our children, brothers and sisters, and same with those that we have impact. We need to be intentional about how we are living out this faith. It just doesn't accidentally, No, we have to be intentional, brothers and sisters. Faith must be taught intentionally. It applies effort, purpose, and consistency. Faith does not grow by accident. It's cultivated. Parents, let me just be clear. You are the first teacher. And it's not your words. It's your actions. It's what they see they will understand quicker than what they hear. When they see you pray, they will learn dependence on God. When they see you show kindness, they will learn what love looks like. When they see your faith in trials, they will learn to trust. The greatest sermon this child will hear is the one that is lived out before them every day and every moment. Turn with me to, let's just go ahead, Deuteronomy, because see, the point is, faith is a journey, not a moment. I wish it was a moment. I wish I could just build a monument and say, oh, this was the powerful moment where God moved and I really obeyed. Here we are, this monument. But Scripture does not allow that. Deuteronomy, and yes, I know you're probably thinking, every baby dedication, you turn us to, have us turn to the Scripture, but honestly, this is the best Scripture, I think, for a baby dedication. It's one that I've found conviction on for my wife and I to live out as we were raising our children, and even today as we are coming closer and closer to that empty nest. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Raising a child in the faith is not simply one conversation. It's 1,000 conversations. Small ones, faithful, those little moments woven in together over years and years. I guarantee you that as a person who has impact, that those moments that you actually impact somebody are not going to be the moments that you think about. They're going to come to you later and say, you remember when you did this or you said this? And you'll be like, what are you talking about? That's what impacted me. Being faithful in the conversations, the small faithful moments being played out. So what path are you on? We need to direct our children onto the right path. So when we're talking about the right path, faith must be taught intentionally, but every child has a God-given path. Every child has a God-given path. What I'm trying to say is we are all wonderfully made for good works. I look up here and I see some youth that are in school and processing, what are you going to do for the future? And I look back and I see a paramedic, concrete, right? On back, farmers, tile maker, veterinarian, some electricians, plumbers, white collar workers, home, at home moms, bakers. What I'm trying to say is that God has made us, right? He made you, all the delicate inner parts of our bodies, and knit them together in our mother's womb. And we should thank for being made so wonderfully complex, because his workmanship is marvelous, as well it is, I know. Do you understand the complexity of our bodies, that God has knit us together? And with this scripture of the psalmist writing and talking about how wonderful this is, before we were even known, God already had a plan. And we see that through the light and the shadow of the cross. For we are God's masterpiece, as he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, what I'm trying to get at here is when we talk about going down the right path. The right path is, I can tell you, from this row all the way back and up again to myself, is that each one of us are called to go and share the beautiful message of Jesus Christ. To share, to go and make disciples. But we each have a different path. What if it's just teachers? No. Each one of us, and we need to help our children to discover what it is, the gifts that God has placed on their hearts, to help them grow in their faith and their purpose. Each child has a unique purpose, and each child is called, but they're not called to look exactly like their parents. Parents, I need to tell you this and remind myself, we're not owners, we're stewards. Our task is to help our children discover God's purpose for their life, not impose ours. So, as we look at what path are you on, the next part after the right path is, when they are older, they will not leave it. So, they will not leave it. What does this point us to? That faith must be taught intentionally, and every child has a God-given path, but the strength of a faithful foundation. The strength of a faithful foundation. Now, I just want to be clear that this is not going to be a perfect path, but what this proverb is telling us is that it promises that it will have an impact, a lasting impact. You see, the seeds you plant today through love, truth, and faith will remain in your child's heart. Now, they may choose to go away from the faith, but as they go through trials and as they experience things, you have planted in them this firm foundation that they will constantly have to compare it up against and wrestle with. What you build in a child's life today will echo in their adulthood later. We need to understand that. These little moments are building up to what will be in their hearts and minds 10 years from now, 20 years. See, it should be a foundation of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said that. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Too many times what we want to try to do is, no, this is what the foundation should be, and then you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Or this is what it should be, and then Jesus Christ. No, it's Jesus Christ is your foundation. And for each one of us as people of influence and parents, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Parents, I know that right now I'm hearing some children, it's beautiful. But I'm sure at 2 a.m. it's not so beautiful, is it? I can remember that there was times when Glenda and I look at each other and we think, is Maggie and Seth going to go on to school like this? Or are they going to college like this? Like, let me just rest you, give you this, what you already know. I'm being a consultant. I'm telling you what you already know. This too will pass. This too will pass. But continue to be diligent. Don't let these moments sidetrack you, because in these little moments, you're helping build a firm foundation on Jesus Christ. Your faith today is a gift to your child and who they will become decades from now. And so, what path are you on? Do you see the glory of God and see the cross and see the price paid, and it causes you to realize who He is and how much He loves you? Or are you a Christian atheist? Yeah, I believe in God, but I'm doing my own thing. I refuse to repent of my sins, because is it really that sin? Which path are you on? Direct your children on the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I have a blessing for the parents this morning as we move into the baby dedication. As you come forward today, you are doing something deeply courageous and deeply beautiful. You are saying before God and before this congregation, this child belongs to the Lord. You are acknowledging that you are stewards, not owners, and that the one who makes this child loves them even more than you do. So take heart. When the nights are long and the questions are hard, God is with you. When you feel unqualified, remember that He called you to this role, to this calling, already knowing exactly who you are. Lean into His word. Lean into the body of Christ. And never stop praying over this precious gift. Direct your child onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Let's just pray as we bring this part of our service, and then we'll go into the video. Heavenly Father, as we just pause now and take in your word, Lord, I pray always that if the words came from me, that they would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor, but the words that came from you would pierce and penetrate our hearts. Lord, that we would not be hearers of the word, but doers. And Lord, that our lives would continually to be transformed, that the world would see your Son Jesus through our actions and our words. Lord, I pray a blessing upon the parents and the children this morning. I pray a blessing upon everyone within the sound of my voice, for each one of us is called to be a person of influence, whether it is our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, friends, co-workers. Lord, the rippling and the pond continues out of influence. May we be faithful in realizing, are we a follower of your Son Jesus, or are we just living that life of a Christian atheist, doing what we want while we claim that we believe in Jesus? Lord, I pray that as we proceed to the service, this will be a wonderful time for the parents as they make this commitment, but also for us as a congregation, as we as well commit to them, to walking with them as we raise these children in the faith, and the faith of your Son Jesus. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. So our live stream is ending at this point, and then I'll start the video. Once the video started, then Chubb and Sierra, Ben and Steph, Levi and Sheila, and Killy and Danae, right? I got you four. I got them right?
Oh, yeah.
Come up after the video. And if you don't, I'll call you up. We good back there? All right.
straight and narrow way. For your purposes, I say that I decay. This baby back to
Levi and Sheila, Chuba and Sierra, and Ben and Steph. Hon, you come over here beside me. Up here in the front. All right. Well, first I wanted to say, watching the video, getting to put that together, I just want to say thank you for allowing Glenda and I to walk with you guys through this and asking us to be the shepherds. And as a congregation, thank you guys that we get to walk through life like this. These are beautiful moments. And so as you come up here, let's go through the service here. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, where with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Parents, we congratulate you and rejoice with you in the birth of your child. It is God's intention that the addition of children into a family shall be an experience of joy, blessing for years to come. To be the parents of children is also a great responsibility. In many respects, their lives and their happiness is in your hands. Their training requires patience and love. And sometimes as parents, we experience fear and disappointment. But for the Christian parent, there is always hope and trust. And bringing your child here this morning, you are saying that you want to share your joy with the family of God, and that you desire the church to share with you and the responsibility of giving this child Christian teaching in a wholesome and happy environment in which to live and grow. Most importantly, we are together showing that we recognize God as the giver of every good gift, including the gift of children. And we dedicate to Him ourselves and all that He has given us. Parents, in the presence of God in this congregation, do you recognize that your child is a gift from God for you to love and to cherish? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you pledge yourselves by the grace of God to bring up this child in the fear and love of the Lord, to be diligent to the utmost of your knowledge, patience beyond the call of duty? And do you pledge this child your love and faith in every circumstance? If so, answer, we do.
Yeah.
Is it your desire to share your joy with this congregation and to have also their prayers, counsel, and help in the task of Christian family growth? If so, answer, it is.
It is.
Are you, as a congregation, ready to join these parents in the dedicating these children? And do you promise to surround this family, always walking with them, with your love and prayer? If so, stand in agreement to that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, right now, we just want to pray a blessing upon these parents. As a congregation, we stand in support with them, to walk with them, to love them, and to lift them up in prayers. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon their marriages and upon their families. And I pray a blessing upon these little ones as we will walk with them Lord, we do so because we are called to be the body of Christ. And Lord, through that, we see your Son Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day. The blood shed for our sins, the empty tomb, interceding on our behalf, knowing that because of that blood and him, and because Christ interceding, that we can go to the throne to receive the grace and mercy that is not only needed to live out this faith, but to also as we live out as the call of parents. And so we thank you for that. And so that's why we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. With that, as we bring our service to conclusion, I always kind of want to point out that we love to say that we strive to be grounded in the Word of God. And so our first point, grounded in the Word of God, eyes fixed on Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit in every aspect. And to start the children off, we give them a little Bible. No, it's not probably the most accurate translation, but they don't need to know everything about Samson and Gideon like we talked about when we did Judges. But it does start them off in the Word of God. So with that, brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention, and go in love, peace of Jesus Christ. You are dismissed.